Welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. Thank you for tuning into this episode. This is a place where I talk about health and wellness and biohacking and everything that goes with that. Today's episode is all about NAD, and man, oh man, do I get so many people messaging me about NAD. It's probably one of the most interesting molecules out there that we have in our bodies. People are always talking about how do we enhance our levels. What can we do about it? And what supplements do I recommend and practices and all these things? So today's episode, we dive into all of that. So we dive into the science behind NAD+ and really what it is and why we need it and where do we even begin? So NAD+ is nicotinamide adenosine diucleotide. Sure, that's how you pronounce that. It's basically a natural molecule found in every single cell of our body, and it declines as we age. So it is really important because it has a lot to do with converting nutrients from our food into cellular energy and helps us switch important cellular health and maintenance processes on and off. So it's very much in the longevity, anti-aging space, which is why there's so much like scientific studies behind it. And so many people are talking about it. So I was lucky enough to be able to sit down with Dr. Nicola Conlon, and she is the founder behind the company Nuchido, and they have their NAD Plus supplement, which is called Nuchido Time Plus. And that is the one that I take. So that is the only NAD supplement that I take and like and endorse. And we talk about that in this episode today. Why they stand out from everybody else, why their product is the best on the market, and what they've done to be able to target the NAD levels in your body from a very scientific standpoint. So it was very, very helpful for me to hear it from Nicola and understand it at this basis. And I will say that, yes, I have been taking this while pregnant. You know, there's obviously disclaimers where you have to kind of write on the bottle with most supplements, like, you know, don't take when you're pregnant and breastfeeding. My advice is to make the decision yourself, do your research and understand things, and you decide. And I will continue taking this during breastfeeding as well. And just because I think it helps with cellular health, like we talked about, and there's so many benefits, which we dive into today, that I think it is worth it. And I'm not concerned about any harmful impact. So enjoy this episode. Before we dive in, we are going to do the DM of the day or DM of the episode, whatever we're going to call it. And I actually, this is an email. So I'm bringing this email to you, and I like to just talk about what people ask me so that you can get some insight. We can talk about different topics and learn different things. So this person wrote, and always, if you want to be a part of this or be featured, send me a message and I will feature you. Anonymously. So this person writes, "Hi, Brittany. Thank you so much for your podcast and the time and effort you've put in towards your brand over the years. My partner and I are doing your baby steps program, and we are starting your protocol and health meal plan in the fall, ideally in October. I was wondering about sauna usage. We have an infrared sauna at home, and I would like to use it multiple times a week. Is it okay if I do that during this protocol? Should I use it during pregnancy? What should my husband be using it for? Should he use it as well? Please send me your recommendations. Thanks so much. And I appreciate all the effort and thought behind your baby steps protocol. I'm so excited about it. Just for reference, I'm 37, my husband is 40, and we will be starting to try for the first time in January. Thank you so much." Okay, so I definitely cover this in my course. So I have for those who don't know, I have a course called Baby Steps, and it is a 7-week online course with a 90-day protocol. And essentially, this helps you optimize your health before you start trying to conceive. It is for anyone who is trying to have a baby first, second, or third, whatever, doesn't matter what number, and you want to conceive in the next year, and you're like, hey, I want to be as healthy as I can to have the healthiest baby and have the healthiest pregnancy and all those things. So you can find it on my website very easily. and it's had a lot of success. So I'm really proud of it. So happy to hear from some of my members in my course, always open to it, always interested in what they're saying. And so sauna usage. Okay. First of all, that's great that you have an infrared sauna at home. That's awesome. Any type of sauna at home, I applaud, I think is fine. And I think that's wonderful. For you, particularly for this woman who wrote in, yes, I would suggest using your sauna, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, as hot as you can go for as long as you can. I think that's super important. It is part of the, you know, detoxing side of a preconception protocol of what I recommend. And I think it helps with so many things. I don't want to get into all of that today, but there's so many benefits to saunas, and I think it's totally safe for you to use it. During pregnancy, I would definitely dial it back, especially during first trimester. I personally didn't use any saunas during first trimester. I did once in second trimester and twice in third trimester, and that was it. And I erred on the side of caution. Mind you, many women sauna during pregnancy, okay? People who live in like Finland, Sweden, all of these different countries, they sauna all the time. So my recommendation when people ask me this question, because I actually get asked this all the time, is to make the best decision for yourself and go with your intuition on this one. Again, I would be very careful during first trimester because the first trimester is really tricky in general. There's so much baby development that is so crucial versus like third trimester. Third trimester is kind of like baby's getting bigger. It's gaining weight, which you want. It's gaining fat, you know, those types of things. And there are some really key developments in third trimester, but first trimester, we're talking like brain development. We're talking spinal cord. We're talking like very, very specific things that will impact the health of your baby long term. So the recommendations that I've seen online have been kind of similar to what I'm saying is like, you can do it, but maybe think triple times, you know, for first trimester. The other thing I will say as well is that when you are pregnant, your body temperature is naturally higher and your heart rate is higher and your HRV is lower. And so your tolerance for things like a sauna is going to be drastically lower. I know this from experience. Before I was pregnant, I could sauna like it was my day job. I used to do an hour. I would do 3 rounds of 20 minutes, do a cold dunk or cold whatever in between, shower, whatever I had access to, and then go in for another 20 minutes. And I would hydrate like crazy to make sure that I wasn't negatively impacting my electrolyte balance, my hydration levels, and I would also take electrolytes and my water. So with pregnancy, you know, you're already required to be drinking more water. So now when you're using a sauna, like you're dehydrating yourself. So you have to think even more about that. And your heart rate just goes higher faster, especially the further on you get in pregnancy. So just be careful, be smart about it. You know, I'm glad that you have it in your home because you could do it in the comfort of your home and you can always get out and maybe have the temperature lower, that type of thing. When I did my saunas in second and third trimester, I think I went in for like 15 minutes. Yeah. Like I don't even think I made it to the 20 minute mark. And then I got out and I was done. So take that with a grain of salt. That's what I did. I'm just helping you. If you go in the sauna one time, it's not going to be the end of the world. Like you're not going to, you know what I mean? Like you're going to survive. For your partner, different story. So preconception, fertility for men, you really want to reduce the heat for testicles. So testicles hang outside of the body for a reason. They are to be kept cooler. Sperm needs to be cooler than the internal body temperature. And so that's why they hang outside. Sperm is very, very sensitive to temperature changes. So we really want to be careful when using something like hot tubs, saunas, steam rooms, car seat warmers even. So what I recommend is for the preconception period, you know, maybe once or twice a week, maybe like maximum, ideally once a week. Absolutely no hot tubs, please. Like please no hot tubs, no hot baths even. Like showers only. And then if you do go in the sauna or you do go in the steam room, or sorry, you have a sauna at home for your sauna at home, there are these boxers out there. And this is linked. This is all in my baby steps course, but it's fine. There are these boxers out there called snowballs. And it's exactly what you think when I'm saying this. So in the boxers, in where the testicles hang, there is this fabric pouch. And it comes with these like ice gel packs. And so you take the gel packs, you put them in the freezer, and you take them out once they're frozen. And then you insert them into this little fabric pouch that then like cradles the testicles and keeps them cold. So when my husband and I would steam or we would go into the sauna, he would be using that. So he'd wear that underneath his bathing suit. We were in public and that would keep his testicles nice and cool. And then everything else, he could sweat, he could detox, he could get the benefits. But it was still like, it was still, you know, I still tried to get him to do it a lot less than normal because again, that heat kills sperm. And we want as much healthy sperm as possible. So be careful. And then obviously, you know, pregnancy is fine for him. Obviously, he's not pregnant. And yeah, that's what I would recommend. Breastfeeding, I don't know. I guess I'm going to navigate that as I go through that. I think it's fine for breastfeeding. The only thing with breastfeeding is and postpartum is that you need even more water while you breastfeed than when you're pregnant. So I think I need to look this up. I keep forgetting. So I think with pregnancy, you need half your body weight in ounces, like half your, is it half your pre-pregnancy weight in ounces? Something like that. And then once you get to breastfeeding, I think it's 1.5 that. So it's way more. And then think on top of that, of like using the sauna and how much you sweat. So I say to all the postpartum mamas out there and breastfeeding mamas, sweat, detox, do your thing. But if it starts to affect your milk supply, you are not drinking enough water to make up for that. So please hydrate like it's nobody's business. Like go to the bathroom, go and pee every hour. Okay. I just want you having enough water so that it doesn't impact anything. Get your electrolytes. I use Elements. I'm not an affiliate with them. I just use them. Okay. And a shout out to Bioptimizers. I love their magnesium. I've been using their magnesium every night lately. I take two before I go to bed. And sleep is a struggle right now in my life. And magnesium is one of the only things that calms me down. Helps with muscle pain, muscle spasms, leg pain, anxiety. Magnesium is like in over 300 different pathways in the body. And the reason I like the Bioptimizers one is because it has seven different types of magnesium in it. And so it is full spectrum. I don't really see this anywhere else, to be honest. I see usually like one type, maybe two, but this is all seven in there. So you're actually supporting all of those 300 pathways. Okay. Most people are deficient in magnesium. And so this is a crucial supplement for people. If you are somebody who is prone to stress, if you have high anxiety, if you have struggle sleeping, if your body is constantly sore, if you're irritated all the time, if you're very emotional or very reactive, chances are you're low in magnesium. So look into that. I love magnesium. And then obviously a shout out to NeuroHacker. I love this one. They have, you know, one of the best nootropics on the market, and it really does support brain health. But honestly, NeuroHacker has a ton of different products that are really great. They are one of the OG biohacking brands. I love their Qualia Mind, which is their nootropic, which I should probably take right now because I'm struggling to remember. Helps with memory, recall, and focus. And my husband loves that product. And then they have a senolytic product as well, which you take 2 days every month and helps with senescent cells, which is very interesting. Cellular turnover, kind of like the theme of this episode, very longevity, anti-aging focused. Enjoy this episode. I am so happy with it. I'm so proud of it. And I loved this interview. And I will catch you soon for another one. If you want to message me on Instagram, you can do that at BiohackingBrittany. That is where I'm the most active. And I will always respond to you, even if it takes me a couple of days. Feel free to send me your health questions. Welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. I am so excited that you're listening to this episode. This episode is so been asked for so many times. I've had so many people in my DMs say, please do an episode on NAD. I need to understand how this works in the body. And so today we are joined by Dr. Nicola Conlon, who is a molecular biologist and founder of Nuchito Laboratories. Her work focuses on the critical role of NAD plus in cellular health and how we can restore its levels to combat the aging process. We're going to explore the vital role of this in aging, longevity, rejuvenation, and health span. And her work really just takes a look at this in a very in-depth process and in-depth way, which I'm excited to talk about. So we're going to talk about the science behind NAD, the groundbreaking solutions offered by Nuchito Time Plus, which is the NAD supplement that I take, which helps us age well and live a long, optimal life. So Dr. Nicola, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brittany. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to have this deep dive into NAD with you.
Yes, me too. So can you start by sharing a bit about your background and kind of what led you to specialize in molecular biology and cellular aging?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I never really knew what I wanted to do when I was younger. And if someone had told me I'd, you know, be a scientist, I probably would have been like, oh, I wouldn't expect that. But I'd always been fascinated by the body, like by the human body for as long as I could remember. And it was just something I found incredibly interesting in terms of everything that's going on constantly inside our cells to keep us alive every second. I just thought it was fascinating. So this basically led me down the kind of human biology route. My PhD ended up being in drug and nutrient bioavailability. So how, when you take drugs or supplements or even eat food, how does it actually get from being in your gut to getting into the cells where it has its effect? And from that point, I decided that academia probably wasn't the place for me. I felt like, you know, sometimes in academia, a lot of cool science is kind of locked in labs and never really gets out to help people. So back then, naively, I thought that maybe going into drug development would be the way forward and the way to help people and get this science out there. So I went and worked in drug development in big pharma for several years. And first of all, I specialized in cancer therapy. And then one day, my boss at the time basically said to me, okay, we're going to shift you onto a new project and you are going to look at drugs to slow aging. And I was like, what? Is that even a thing? Because this was like 10 years ago. And this is back when nobody was really talking about longevity or anything like that. So I had this amazing opportunity to basically spend a whole year learning absolutely everything I could about the longevity space, learning about all the research that was happening, all the breakthroughs that were happening, and trying to understand, was it actually possible to reverse cellular aging? And after all of that time, I was like, wow, this is an incredible space. The potential of this research is truly going to rewrite aging as we know it. And from that point, I was hooked. And I ran the drug development programs looking at drugs for longevity. And the really frustrating thing for me was that a lot of these molecules that people were developing as, you know, in the drug setting, were a lot of the molecules that worked really well were actually not drugs. They were natural molecules, things that were known to be suitable as supplements, things that were nutrients that were actually working really well to reverse cellular aging. But unfortunately, because they were not drugs, the drugs companies were not interested in patent them, because they own them and they couldn't make money off them. So commercially, totally got it. But ethically, I was like, wow, this is crazy. We've got all this amazing longevity science that shows that it could really change the way that we age. We've got these molecules that aren't drugs that are already known to be safe. Why is no one doing anything with these ones? So I left back in 2017 and I set up Nuchito Laboratories, where basically my mission was, how do we take all of the non-drug molecules and actually give them the research they deserve, and most importantly, get them out to consumers so that people can benefit from this now and give them good scientific testing. So that's what we do at Nuchito. We say we translate the latest research in the field of longevity into products that people can access now.
Have you heard about senolytics yet? It's a class of ingredients discovered less than 10 years ago, and they're being called the biggest discovery of our time for promoting healthy aging and enhancing your physical prime. Your life goals and your career and beyond require productivity, let's be honest. The aging process, however, is not our friend when it comes to endless energy and productivity, and that's why I use Qualia Senolytic. If someone had told me that there are science-backed ingredients that could help me feel 15 years younger in a matter of months, I would not have believed it until I tried this. As we age, everyone accumulates these senescent cells in our bodies. They're also kind of known as zombie cells. They are old and worn out and not serving a useful function for our health anymore, but they're taking up space and nutrients from our healthy cells. Much like getting rid of dead leaves off of a plant, Qualia Senolytic removes those worn out senescent cells to allow for the rest of them to thrive in the body. The best part is you actually only need to take it 2 days a month. When I have taken this, I've had higher energy levels. I have been more productive, felt more enthusiastic in life, and also had less aches and pains. So resist aging at the cellular level. Try Qualia Senolytic right now. Go to qualialife.com/Brittany for up to 50% off, which is wild. And use code Brittany at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's Qualia, spelled Q-U-A-L-I-A, life.com/Brittany for an extra 15% off of your purchase. Thanks to Qualia for sponsoring today's episode, and I will definitely be taking my share this month.
Wow, that's really incredible. When you were working there and you saw like some of these more natural molecules that were really supporting reversing aging or slowing it down at least, what were some of those that like offhand you can remember right now? And I guess like how many actually went into the current formulation of Nucito?
I mean, there were so many different things. And I guess this wasn't just in terms of looking at aging. This was something I noticed when I was working in the cancer therapy side. You know, some of the natural molecules, things like curcumin out of turmeric, were addressing, you know, some of the different types of cancer better than some of the cancer drugs. And this stuff is just not spoken about, and it doesn't get the research that it deserves. Natural molecules, things like EGCG out of green tea, again, another really powerful compound that was just having such a beneficial effect that doesn't get the research it deserves because it's, you know, it's in a tea that you can go and buy from the supermarket. So no one's ever going to invest money into the real research that these types of compounds should be getting.
That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, at least it's exciting that you have developed something that can help us and help everyone that is more natural based so that we don't have to kind of just rely on these pharmaceuticals and the potential negative side effects that can come from them as well. Obviously, I think when you're sticking to something more natural, there's less concern there, mostly, not always, but less concern for side effects. And so after you left and then you were inspired to kind of, you know, develop something that could really help with cellular aging in a more natural approach. How did you kind of come up with that formulation of the current formulation? Like, was it just like, I'm going to pick the best of the best and put these together and then study it and then it makes sense? Like, was it just this like long drawn out research process in order to get it where it is today?
Well, it took 2 years. So it took quite a while. But the product that we have is designed to boost levels of NAD. And one of the things that really struck us about all the other methods to boost NAD and all the other supplements and, you know, ways out there is that they didn't really seem to consider the science behind why NAD declined. And they were taking very much a traditional approach, which is very similar to what happens in the pharmaceutical world, where if something's gone wrong in the body, just look at that very specific thing and then find some sort of molecule that will target it. But actually what happens in real life and in biology is that usually when something's going wrong in the body or something's declining, like NAD, there's actually multiple different causes and there's multiple different things going on in the cell that are causing this issue. So if you really want to actually fix something, you need to look at all these different things that are happening to contribute towards the problem and actually get molecules that address all of these different things. So quite often, using multiple different molecules, whether that's, you know, drugs or natural molecules, works way better than just one thing, trying to target one thing in the body. So when we were choosing all the ingredients, it was very much each ingredient was chosen for a very specific reason that was looking at a very specific part of the NAD network that had become dysfunctional.
That makes sense. Before we like get into NAD specifically, I'd like to just like explain kind of the fundamental science behind aging at a cellular level, if we can. And maybe you can even touch on the hallmarks of aging that scientists focus on. I think there's 11 now, or is it 9? Like 12. I know it, 12. Okay. So it recently increased. I'd love to just like unpack that so we can really understand like, okay, what is actually happening to our bodies that is making us feel older and look older?
Yeah, the hallmarks of aging, these are very famous now within the longevity space. And you're correct in that when these things were first published in a paper, it was actually in 2013, so 11 years ago now, there were 9 hallmarks of aging. And basically what the hallmarks of aging are the key things in a cell that are driving the aging process. So effectively, the key things that are going wrong to cause everything else beyond it that we experience as the aging process. Because what many people kind of don't think about is we're so used to thinking of aging as what we see on the surface or how we feel. But ultimately, everything from the, you know, the lines, the wrinkles, the age-related disease, whatever it is, everything goes back to the cellular level. There's always a cellular root cause that's actually driving all of these things. And this is where the hallmarks of aging come in, because the longevity scientists have really been working on how can they understand what is happening at the cellular level to drive the aging process. Because if we can understand what's happening, then maybe we can target it and do something about it. So back in 2013, this paper was published, The Hallmarks of Aging, which details 9 different things that go wrong in our cells to cause the aging process. And after a decade in 2023, this paper was actually updated. A new version came out and it was, you know, kind of like the hallmarks of aging part 2. And the really interesting thing was that they only added an extra 3. So that means even in a whole decade of thousands of scientists around the world studying cellular aging, we still only think it boils down to 12 key things going wrong in our cells, which is amazing, really, because I think we all thought it would be way more complicated than that. Not to say it isn't complicated, but we thought there would be a lot more things going on. And the fact that it's 12 key things and they all seem to be interlinked means that we are, you know, in a really good place to be able to target these hallmarks. And I mean, I won't go through all of the hallmarks because we'd have a whole podcast day understanding those. But, you know, just as an example, some of the things people may have heard about in terms of the hallmarks, things like DNA damage. This is a famous hallmark of aging, the idea that the more DNA damage we have in our cell, the more it drives the aging process. Another exciting one that's spoken about quite a lot now is something called cellular senescence. This is this idea that some of our cells are put to sleep. And the reason for this is because if our cells accumulate too much damage, it kind of sets off an alarm bell saying, oh dear, this cell is a write-off. We can't repair it. We need to get rid of it so it doesn't become cancerous. And unfortunately, the body just doesn't remove the cell. It just puts it to sleep, which, you know, is a quick solution to stopping the problem. But actually, we now know these cells aren't silent. They're actually secreting a lot of inflammation. And this is incredibly damaging to the cells around them. And also, these cells are sitting there in their tissues, not actually doing their purpose. They're taking up space and not actually pulling their weight, meaning that as we get older, a lot of our tissues are actually full of these senescent cells. And this is why we experience things like, you know, our organs start to fail, our hearts weaken, muscles are not functioning as well as we get older, because there's lots of cells sitting in there that aren't working as well. So there's a big excitement about how can we actually get rid of some of these cells, and will it help to reverse aging? And I guess the final hallmark to mention, I'll only say three out of the 12, but is inflammation, because I've just mentioned that chronic low-grade inflammation is a key hallmark of aging. We know it's an incredible driver of the aging process. So that's kind of a very quick flavor of what these hallmarks of aging are. And these are ultimately the root causes of the entire aging process.
If there's one mineral you should be worried about not getting enough of, it's magnesium. Magnesium is the body's master mineral. It's powerful, and it's involved in over 600 critical reactions, including hormone balance, stress management, sleep quality. Even digestion is influenced by the presence of magnesium. But there are two big problems here. One, magnesium has been largely missing from U.S. soil since the 1950s, which explains why it's estimated that up to 75% of the population may be deficient. And two, most supplements contain only one or two forms of magnesium, when in reality, your body needs seven. The only magnesium supplement on the market that has the full spectrum of all seven forms is called Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This is my favorite. I've been taking it for over 2 years. That's why I'm so excited to tell you that I was able to arrange a killer deal for you for this summer. You won't find this deal on Amazon or even on the company's own website. This deal is exclusively for my audience, and it's for a very, very limited time and only while supplies last. So right now, you can actually get a bottle of Magnesium Breakthrough for free. Like, actually, you get it for free. I'm not kidding. So go now to my website that they made for me, which is magbreakthrough.com/biohackingbrittanyfree, and get your bottle of Magnesium Breakthrough for free today. Again, that's magbreakthrough.com/biohackingbrittanyfree, and you get it for free. So go now. It's linked in my show notes of this episode, and it's linked on my website, so you can find it really easily, or just DM me and I will send it to you as well. All of us should be on magnesium, and this is my absolute favorite one to take.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, the hallmarks of aging are so interesting, and just, yeah, I mean, I've talked about them before, and I've read about them. And like you said, like, it's so interesting that they came out 10 years later and there were only three more, despite how much work and evidence and time people put into that. You know, I'm curious what your thoughts are if we were to go a level deeper. So with the hallmarks of aging, like you're saying, like DNA damage, senescent cells, inflammation, do you think that there is a common root cause for all of the hallmarks of aging? And what I mean by that is, do you think it is a reflection of our current lifestyle and diet and stress loads that then triggers this cellular damage in all of these different ways? Like, do you think that would be the underlying big issue here? Or like, what do you really see as, like, or is there even one simple, single underlying cause for all of them?
Oh, that's a really good question, actually, and one I've not been asked before. So I think one thing to, there's a couple of things here, but one thing to point out is that actually the hallmarks of aging are very interlinked. So none of them are kind of standalone. So it's not like one hallmark's kind of driving the others, or, you know, anything like that, but they're all very interlinked. So they're all making each other worse. And it's really hard to pinpoint one. It's a bit like a chicken and an egg situation, like which came first. But, you know, for example, if we have one of the hallmarks, mitochondrial dysfunction, that is where our mitochondria aren't working as well and they're giving off oxidative stress, then the oxidative stress is then damaging the DNA. The DNA damage is then causing senescence. Then this is feeding back, causing other things, which then eventually lead to more DNA damage. So it's all very highly interlinked. So I think that's one important point. When we as scientists tend to categorize things because it makes things easier. So, you know, we've put this entire complicated aging process into basically 12 categories. But in reality, it doesn't work like that. They all sort of bounce off one another. And then in terms of like, what is actually driving all of this? Well, I think a big part is the fact that all of our biology and everything in our cells is not designed to live as long as we are now living as humans. And I think, you know, nothing in aging really makes sense, or nothing in biology, actually, you know, none of our biology really makes sense unless you look at it in the light of evolution. So for example, we are, as humans, you know, our lifespan only a couple of hundred years ago used to be around like 40, 50. You know, we were quite lucky if we lived longer than that. But now, thanks to improvements in sanitation, healthcare, things like that, we're now living way longer. We're living well into our 80s. And for our biology, this is like new territory, because everything in our biology has been designed to make us good at living young and getting to childbearing age. And then it didn't really matter after that, because none of us were that likely to survive into our 80s. So nothing in our cells, which is all designed by evolution, has been selected to help us being good at being old. And a really good example of this is senescence. Okay. So senescence is actually a really clever way that evolution has designed us to stop us from getting cancer, or reduce the risk of getting cancer when we're younger. This idea that if we get too much damage in our cell, that this alarm bell will go off and just very quickly put this cell to sleep to stop it from causing any issues. Now, that was fine when we were sort of, you know, living till around our 40s and 50s, because there was never enough of these senescent cells building up in the body to ever become a problem. So now that we're living into our 80s, we've got people sitting there with, you know, 30, 40% of their tissues taken up with senescent cells. Like, evolution didn't think about this. So I think, you know, some of the issues and the reason that we see some of these effects are due to the fact that this is new territory. Our biology hasn't adapted to consider these longer lifespans.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And even if our biology was to adapt to living to like 80, let's say, it's going to take so long for that to happen, right? Like, it's going to take what, thousands of years for us to even see any difference in that and like be able to function optimally until that age.
Yeah, because evolution takes a long, long time. The bodies that we're living in now, you know, were designed thousands and thousands of years ago when we were absolutely not living the lifestyle that we are living today. You know, all of the things in our body, all of the, you know, the repair processes and things that help keep ourselves in good health are not getting switched on like they used to. So for example, we hear a lot of people saying, well, you know, we should be doing fasting or sauna or ice bath or high intensity interval training, all things that are actually quite stressful to our bodies, because these are the things that, you know, we would be, you know, hunting and gathering and suddenly having to run away from prey or whatever it was, surviving. And now we live a very comfortable life where none of these pathways are activated, which is why, you know, we promote doing things that are putting your body under a little bit of stress to switch these pathways back on. So although evolution takes a long time, there are things within our bodies that are sitting there that can help us, but they just need to be activated, and they're not by our modern lifestyles.
Yeah. Isn't that so funny though? Like, we spent so much time and effort and money into creating solutions for comfort, and yet our body thrives better in a little bit of discomfort, and it actually repairs and becomes stronger through discomfort.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like this sort of science version of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I just find that so interesting. Like, yeah, be comfortable with being uncomfortable, and like, and in any way that looks like even working out, like going to the gym, it's like, man, I'm tired, but like, this is actually great for my body compared to me just sitting on the couch for another hour watching TV, right? Like, that's such a simple example, but it's just so hard for us to do now because we're so stuck in this like comfortable way of like working at home or working from the office, sitting on the couch, food getting delivered. I don't have to do anything. Like, at least in North America, it's very accessible and very comfortable. And so I think that's a big part of biohacking is like, all right, I'm going to do the hard thing, but it's going to benefit me and my aging and my longevity. So it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I say this all the time. It's like everything we need is inside of us. It just needs to be, you know, switched back on or given that kickstart.
Yeah, exactly. So in terms of NAD levels and all of this, like how does the decline of NAD levels kind of fit into this picture of the aging process and aging decline?
Well, the reason NAD has become so exciting in the longevity world and a bit of a buzzword is because NAD so far is basically one of the only molecules that's been found to impact all of the hallmarks of aging. And I mean, both positively and negatively. So if your NAD declines, which we know it does with age, then it negatively influences all the hallmarks. So the hallmarks get worse. And if you have higher NAD, then the hallmarks of aging are improved. So it's actually quite astonishing that one molecule in our body can have such a major impact on all of the different hallmarks of aging in one go. And that's why it's become such an interest of research in the longevity space.
That makes so much sense. And yeah, that is really wild that it can impact all of the hallmarks of aging, which just makes it so important. And like you said, like why people are researching so much. What is your opinion on these like IVs that people are doing, or I forget what the official name is, but like, I think it's called IVs, right? Where they go in and they do NAD like drips in a clinic.
Well, I think my opinion is not great. Maybe to explain why, I'll just sort of give a really brief overview of like the function of NAD and where it's found in the body. So like basically we know NAD is naturally found in every single cell in our body. It's involved in hundreds of different reactions, which I guess is why it has such an impact on all the different hallmarks of aging. But the two things that it is most important for are for our energy production. So NAD is found in our mitochondria, where it basically helps take the food that we eat and convert it into the energy that we need in the form of ATP, so our whole bodies can survive. And the second thing that it's really important for is for driving a lot of cellular repair and maintenance pathways. So basically, NAD seems to act as a fuel for many of these cellular pathways, things like DNA repair enzymes, longevity pathways, things that reduce inflammation. All of these things are relying on NAD as a fuel to activate them and drive them. So this is why we have an issue where when NAD becomes low, our energy production starts to decline. So we suffer from things like tiredness and fatigue and mental brain fog. But also when NAD goes low, it means that we don't have the NAD to drive a lot of these repair processes. So we start to see cellular damage. We start to feel that we're not as resilient. We don't recover from things as well. So this is kind of the function that it's playing in the cell. And the reason I mention this, so I can answer your question, is that NAD needs to be inside of our cells. That is very, very important. It does not do very much at all outside of the cells. And when people first realized that NAD was something that they wanted to boost, the first thing that people thought was, well, let's just stick NAD in a capsule and swallow it. And, you know, that'll do the job. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that because NAD is unstable. So it just gets destroyed by the gut and the stomach acid. So the next best thing was, well, let's put it in an IV and put it in our veins or put it in a subcutaneous injection. And for a while, it was thought that was the solution. But then it was realized that actually NAD is a very big molecule. And not only is it a big molecule, it's also charged, which is why you will usually see the NAD plus with a plus next to it. And these characteristics mean that it does not get absorbed into cells very well. And as I've just mentioned, all of these mitochondria, all of the DNA, all of the pathways, everything that NAD is getting used for is inside of the cell. So you can put as much NAD via an IV or an injection into the blood as you want, but it doesn't do anything there. It has to get into the cells. And most cells do not let it in. They've got to have special channels or like little doors to let the NAD in. And it's only known to be that we have these channels on a very few cell types in our body, namely our neurons and some of our heart cells. But NAD is required in every cell in the body. So this means that doing an IV, the NAD is essentially getting stuck in the blood. It's not getting into most of the cells. And the body has to suddenly work very, very hard to metabolize it and break it down. And if you ask anybody who's had an NAD IV, they will tell you that it is not a pleasant experience. You know, you feel sick, you have a tight chest, you have heart palpitations, because your body is rapidly like, oh my goodness, I need to break down this NAD. It's not meant to be like in this amount in the blood. So there's very little evidence to show that the NAD actually gets into the blood, out of the blood, into the cells. There's been one clinical trial done on this, and it seems that most of the NAD is just broken down, and then some of the precursors of NAD are taken up. But yeah, scientifically, it really doesn't make very much sense at all.
If you're feeling out of sync with your hormones or struggling with fertility, I totally get it. I've been there and it can be so frustrating, but I found a delicious way to support your reproductive health. I have developed hormone balancing fertility boosting chocolate. This isn't just any type of chocolate. It's packed with adaptogens like maca root and antioxidants from cacao and pomegranate. These ingredients can help regulate your hormones and support your preconception health and fertility. You need to download this recipe ASAP, okay? Because it's more than just a treat, it's a powerful way to nourish your body from the inside out. Imagine indulging in a rich, delicious chocolate that not only satisfies your sweet tooth, but also boosts your wellness. Whether you're trying to conceive, balance your hormones, or just crave a healthy indulgence that you get to make from home, where you get to control all of the ingredients and also optimize your health, this recipe is perfect for you. Don't miss out on this tasty, fertility-enhancing, optimizing health solution. You can go to biohackingbrittany.com/pages/fertility-chocolate and download the recipe for free right now. Go for it. It's just right there waiting for you. It's linked in my show notes. It's linked on my website. You're going to find it super, super easy. So treat yourself to better health one delicious bite at a time. That's so interesting. It's a common question I get in my DMs is like, whenever I do talk about NAD, it's like, you know, what's your opinion on the NAD IVs? And if that's the science behind it and the molecule's too big for it to actually be fully effective, then like, why are these clinics and spas offering it? Like, I don't understand like why it's become such a thing if it's really not the most effective way for us to increase our levels.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think a lot of it is it's quite a gimmick. You know, people are like, it's a gimmick going to a spa or wherever and getting an IV. And the other thing is people do feel horrendous when they get it. And in a weird way, you feeling horrendous makes it feel like it's done something. You know, oh God, this must be working because I feel terrible. So something's happening in my body, which is, you know, crazy. But I think that is part of it as well. And the other thing is, you know, I've said to so many people who are doing this, just do some clinical studies, do the trials, like show people that it gets into the cells. Like if you're so convinced that it's working, but none of them do it. And for me, that speaks volumes. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence, you know, in things like addiction, and it could be that, you know, we know that some of the NAD will get into certain cell types, but you need it in every cell. And putting that amount into the blood where it's not meant to be is not a good thing to do. It puts the body under a lot of strain. And it's, you know, the one paper that did come out shows it all gets broken down into these precursors. And the precursors are essentially vitamin B3. So you might as well just take vitamin B3, which is a lot easier and cheaper.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Thank you for explaining that. I think it's important to like understand that and look at the distinction of, yeah, what happens, you know, what's in the IV bag versus like what your body breaks it down into and what you actually use, I think is really important. So, you know, when you were doing this research and now you've developed this product, this new Cheeto Time Plus, which is precursors that help the body create NAD, what are some of the ingredients and specific ingredients in this formulation that you have found like, yeah, this actually really does work to increase our NAD in our body?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned earlier, when we developed the product, we were like looking at the science behind NAD decline and looking at the other products out there and going, wow, they are completely ignoring this. So the most common other NAD booster out there is probably the most famous one, is something called NMN. And this is basically a precursor to NAD. It's like one of the building blocks or the raw materials that the body uses to make NAD. So the idea behind these supplements is that if you take NMN or NR, another precursor, you are giving the body the raw material that it needs to go ahead and make NAD. But actually, when you looked at all the science of why NAD was declining, one of the main issues was that the pathway or the enzyme in our body that actually takes the raw material, then turns it into NAD, this actually declines with age. So you can kind of give the body all the raw material at once, but if it doesn't have the machine to actually turn it into NAD, then it's not really going to get the best benefit. The other reason why NAD declines is chronic inflammation. So again, if you have chronic inflammation in your body, it actually causes the overexpression of an enzyme called CD38. And this enzyme is a prolific NAD consumer. So again, it's like, you know, actually just by getting rid of some of this inflammation, you can increase your NAD by not even putting any precursors in. You can just stop it from being wasted. And also, you know, if people are boosting their NAD but not dealing with the inflammation, then it's just draining the NAD supply. So what we really wanted to do was produce something that actually looked at all of these causes of NAD decline and actually fixed them. So a major thing that we focused on was how do we switch back on natural NAD production? Because a big thing in the, you know, in the NAD space is that many people don't realize that our bodies are actually very good at making NAD. All of our NAD is actually naturally produced inside of our cells. And it doesn't come from the diet. It's something that is produced in a pathway in our cells. And this is called the salvage pathway. And there's a particular enzyme in this pathway called NAMPT. And this is the critical rate limiting enzyme that literally takes the precursors or the raw material and turns it into the NAD molecule. And it's specifically this enzyme that declines as we get older and leads to all of the NAD production problem. So we wanted to develop something that would actually turn that enzyme back on and actually restore natural, youthful NAD production in our cells. So there's a couple of ingredients in there that are actually designed to do that. So one of them is something called Sephora Japonica. And Sephora Japonica contains an active ingredient called quercetin, and which many people might have heard of. It's quite a famous one in the longevity space. And what this quercetin molecule does is it actually helps to activate or switch back on this NAD producing enzyme. The other molecule that we use in there is something called alpha lipoic acid. And this also activates this NAMPT enzyme, but it does it in a very different way to the quercetin. The way that it does it is it actually switches on something in our cells called AMPK. And if you've ever done a bit of a deep dive into fasting, you'll probably recognize AMPK because this is the thing that is actually activated when we fast. It's like the energy sensor in our cells. And when AMPK is switched on, it tells our body up NAD production and it switches on this NAMPT enzyme that increases natural levels of NAD in our body to help survive the period of stress, this fasted state. So the two ingredients that we use, they're specifically designed to actually switch back on this enzyme. And, when I started the company, I was very passionate about bringing out products or supplements that have good scientific research behind them. So we actually did a full double-blind placebo-controlled crossover study, a human study on this product. And it's the only NAD booster method that it's actually been clinically proven in humans to not only boost NAD, but also to boost it by actually fixing the root cause of the decline and switching back on our natural NAD production.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. And I love that you have like just swam upstream so much by like looking at the enzyme NAMPT also looking at this inflammatory molecule, CD38, and looking at how those types of, you know, mechanisms actually impact the NAD levels, rather than, like we were saying before, just here's some sort of precursor to NAD. It's like, no, okay, what's actually driving the decline in it? And I think that just makes so much sense. Again, we're just going like deeper and deeper into the root causes of these issues. And then with this human clinical trial that you did with your product, that's really exciting that you did that. I'm curious, kind of generally speaking, like what were your findings there? How long did it take for someone to be able to see a difference in their NAD levels after using your supplement?
Yeah. So in the trial, well, there was a few things about our trial design that were different. First of all, we used men and women, which is very unusual for a trial. Obviously, women are usually excluded. And also, when you look at the NAD space, any trials that have been done on things like NMN or NR are usually in men aged 55 to 65 that are obese, because this is the group that you will get a result in. But we actually use men and women aged 20 to 80. So like a really representative of an average population that could benefit from increasing their NAD levels. And in these subjects, we found that after just 7 days, so the NAD was measured every 7 days for a month. And we found that after just 7 days, we could already see a significant increase in NAD levels that continued to rise across the course of the study. So that was a big tick that it, you know, it actually increases NAD. Then obviously we measured the mechanism. We found that we could see increased levels of this NAMPT enzyme. So we know that we were actually fixing the root cause of NAD decline. The other thing, you know, we've also mentioned is this inflammatory response, this inflammation and its link with NAD. Because actually, some of the research that has been coming out recently on other NAD boosting strategies, such as NMN and NR, has been showing that they may actually drive inflammation, which has been really shocking, because obviously everybody is trying to increase their NAD to have a positive impact. So the fact that in some studies, it's actually shown to increase inflammation and even drive senescence, it's been quite worrying. But the reason for this is, again, because if you are boosting NAD without looking at the root causes, without addressing inflammation, one of the main issues is that in chronically inflamed older people, especially if they have high levels of this CD38 inflammatory enzyme, which many people do, it means that it will preferentially use your NAD. So basically, we know that CD38 has what we call a higher affinity for NAD than any other of the pathways that use NAD. So this means that if NAD suddenly becomes available in the cell and CD38 is present, it will literally grab onto the NAD and use it before any of the other beneficial pathways like the DNA repair enzymes or the sirtuins even get a look in. And this is why sometimes you think you're doing a good thing by increasing the NAD with a precursor, but actually it's actually driving inflammation. So we have an ingredient in there that's specifically designed to inhibit the CD38 enzyme to stop it from grabbing the NAD and wasting it. And the ingredient that we use is something called apigenin, which is a CD38 inhibitor. We actually add it not in its pure form. We actually add it in as a form of parsley powder. And the reason for this is because although apigenin's been shown in its pure form in cells to inhibit CD38, it's not naturally found like that in the environment or in a, you know, in nature, which means that we can't absorb it. So the best way is to use a natural extract, and then your body can take what it needs and actually use the active molecules. Sorry, that was going off on a tangent. But the apigenin basically inhibits the CD38. And what we wanted to do was actually measure inflammation in our trial to prove that the product was actually not driving inflammation. So we measured multiple inflammatory cytokines and saw a reduction in inflammation in subjects also.
Wow, that's so interesting. And I can't believe that, you saw those results, first of all, within 7 days, which is wild. Like that, like just taking such a different approach to it was so, so effective. And then also just showing that, like, sometimes if you do take these precursors to NAD, there actually is a negative side effect of it, which I didn't know about. And I haven't heard
Yeah, it's actually pretty crazy. And, you know, another side effect of some of these precursors is something called, which a lot of people talk about. And again, if you follow the NAD space, you'll have heard about it. It's called a methylation issue, a methyl donor depletion. So you'll often hear people saying, oh, if you go and get an NAD IV or if you take NMN, you should be taking something called trimethylglycine, which is a methyl donor. Because basically what happens, and again, this isn't a theory, this is all published in the research, is that when you are taking a precursor, but you are ignoring the fact that your recycling pathway for NAD or this NAMPT enzyme doesn't work, basically what happens is any NAD that is produced gets broken down when it's used by the cell, and it gets broken back down into precursors. And then what should happen in young, normal, healthy cells is that precursor should be scooped back up by that NAMPT enzyme and recycled straight back into fresh NAD again. But if that's not working, what actually happens is you start to get a buildup of these precursors in the cell. And then the cell goes, oh my goodness, we need to get rid of this precursor. And the way it does it is it sticks a methyl group onto it. And that signals it for its excretion out of the cell. And that's great because it stops the buildup, but it's very bad because our methyl groups should not be getting used for things like this. They should be getting used for things like our epigenetics and DNA repair. So again, this is something that we wanted to avoid with our product by actually including ingredients in there to actually get rid of this methylation issue. And the ingredient we actually use for this is one of the ones we mentioned earlier. It's EGCG, which is found in green tea, which is actually known to prevent this issue from happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard quite a bit about ECG, the one that's in the green tea that you just said, just from a aging longevity standpoint in general. Yeah, I just find it really interesting and fascinating that it's so dynamic, and the longevity space, as you know, has become so popular and so booming in the last few years. Like I swear I see every every main person, big doctor in the space, I don't know what you want to call them, big influencer, whatever, come out with some sort of book on longevity in the last 3 years. And it makes sense, right? Like you said, like we are living much longer than we are biologically meant to right now. And so what are we going to do about it? And I think it's so pivotal that we are looking at it from such a cellular health standpoint. I would love to wrap up this show and ask you, what do you think is some practical advice that people can take from this and people looking to optimize the NAD levels and support healthy aging? What would you say to them that you could say okay, here, yes, you know, you can take all of these ingredients that can help, and I think everybody should be taking this, but above and beyond that, what would you recommend to the people listening?
So above and beyond anything, you know, even supplements, it's lifestyle. When it comes to NAD, not only does NAD decline naturally with age, but your lifestyle will also play a massive role. So if you have a lifestyle that is causing a lot of damage to your body in terms of a lot of inflammation, in terms of lack of sleep, everything from, you know, a poor diet, smoking, sunburn, all of these things, alcohol, they all will reduce your NAD levels. So the better your lifestyle, the better kind of standing it puts you to start off. So I would always recommend improving lifestyle first. And getting on top of that. And then obviously, as we've discussed everything today, you know, not all NAD boosting methods are created equally. So actually look at the science behind it. Look at, you know, if NAD is declined in the body, it's declined for a reason. So actually the best way to fix that is to actually address the reason why it's declined, which is what we're all about, because, you know, increase in NAD is like a long-term investment in your cellular health. It is one of the only things that's been found to influence all the hallmarks of aging. And, you know, indeed in our study, we actually found that it reversed biological age. So we know that it's having an all-round benefit to cellular health. And that is only going to benefit you across your whole body.
Yeah, I love that. I completely agree. If people want to try new Cheeto Time Plus and they're like, yes, I need this as part of my stack, and you know, hopefully they have some of these lifestyle practices going as well to support their NAD levels, where can they do that and how can they connect with you?
So they can they can go on our website if they want to try it and order it. And that is just www.nuchido.com. Then the best place to find me is on Instagram. And my Instagram handle is just at Dr. Nicola Conlon. And also Nuchido is just at Nuchido. So yeah, come and find us. We do a lot about NAD, but also just about general longevity and really trying to educate people on what the science is and how they can incorporate into their lives.
Yeah, you really do. And it's great to kind of see that support. And I think I have a discount code for my audience, actually. I think it's Biohacking Brittany in all capitals. If you want to try Nuchido Time Plus, you can use that to get, I think it's 10% off. So definitely check that out. And thank you so much for coming on the show today, Dr. Nicola. This was awesome. And I learned so much. And I know people have just been waiting for an NAD episode. So I think a lot of people have definitely got a lot out of this.
No, thank you. It's been great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Biohacking with Brittany. If you're interested in finding the show notes or the sponsors for this episode, you can do so on my website, which is biohackingbrittany.com. Remember to follow me on Instagram, where I'm most active. My handle is at biohackingbrittany. And if you're interested in working together and you want to email me directly, you can do that. My email is info@biohackingbrittany.com. And I look forward to hearing from you and having you tune in next week.